too much or goes down rapidly, the brain is affected because the major fuel of the brain is glucose. That glucose level can cause episodic symptoms, meaning you get a symptom, it comes for a while. Many people learn if they eat a little bit, the symptom goes away, or they may in time just see the symptom abates and occurs again and again. The episodic is the key word because it comes and it goes. And therefore, most physicians will not be able to test it properly. Glucose levels are an important issue, but the glucose level usually is just of one moment. When the needle goes into the arm and gets out some blood, the glucose is taken at that moment. But at that moment, the glucose is commonly okay. So the patient has to understand they have to diagnose themselves partially. And how do they do that? Well, they commonly will learn to carry around food or to, when they feel badly enough, go and eat something. They tend to crave carbohydrate. But the key is the symptom also tends to be brain-related, such as episodic headache, dizziness that's episodic, brain fog that's episodic, concentration falters. Also, the need to have caffeine commonly is part of that. For example, the British, they've learned to have tea time. Tea time is usually about 3 o'clock, 3:30. They eat lunch maybe 1 o'clock. So 2-3 hours later, glucose may be down. They take tea, which has caffeine, brings the glucose back up. They've solved the problem for that moment.
And we have to leave it right there. And the gift that was offered during this hour, Gary Knowles, Reversing Heart Disease and Stroke Naturally, plus Power Food, and that's for a pledge of $100. And you can get that by calling 212-209-2950 or go to give to WBAI.org online. That's 212-209-2950 or go to give to the number two, WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Black Star News coming up. It is now 2 minutes past 3 p.m. And this is still WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online.
Greetings, greetings, sisters and brothers. Welcome to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM New York Radio, also streaming on WBAI.org. I am your host, Milton Alimadi, and I'm joined as usual by Black Star News Managing Editor, Colin Benjamin. Colin Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Comrade brother, good afternoon.
Oh, so today I'm comrade brother.
Well, I've been getting beat up by that, not just by you alone. So
okay, so let's get straight into it. You know, first of all, we said since this is Women's History Month, every show we're going to recognize two or a couple of our heroes. And today I want to recognize Miriam Makeba, the great Miriam Makeba, who turned her remarkable, powerful, beautiful voice into a weapon for the fight for African liberation. And I also want to recognize Funmilayo Ransom Kuti, who was a dynamic woman in her own right in Nigeria. In fact, it was because of his mother that Fela became this tireless fighter. Music was secondary to him. Music was just a weapon, really, to raise the social causes. And all of that came from his mother. So those are my two. What are your two before we get into our show?
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot. Well, I guess today I'll just stick to the two women who raised me, my grandmother, Ruby Benjamin, and my aunt Pamela White.
Okay, so now you're trying to upstage me, okay? I was going to bring up my mom next week, and now you go ahead and you put me in a corner like that.
Well, so, because we come from a tradition of strong women, and sometimes when we're, looking outside, we're forgetting the ones that's right inside, because,
absolutely,
both of those women, I mean, I could tell you so many stories about, my aunt in particular. I mean, she scared guys.
That's okay, that's the kind of aunt you need. Yeah. All right, so Colin, Ukraine. You know, there's life, there's human life in other parts of the world. Today, our two guests, we're going to bring on the show first, Yaa Maggie Kilo. She's a Cameroonian activist. She's the founder of an organization called Takumbang. And she's also the chairperson of the Southern Cameroon Alliance. And today our theme and focus is going to be the plight of women in conflict zones in Africa, because often women are subjected to a particular type of horrendous abuse during conflict. So we're going to have our guests speak about that. And then in the second half hour, we will have Maybel Gebremedin, and she is the co-founder of Tigray Action Committee. And if you notice, the way corporate media operates, it's as if they can't chew gum and walk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So now that all the focus is saturated on Ukraine, it's as if nothing
else is happening.
Going on in Tigray or in Cameroon. Cameroon, in fact, does not get any coverage at all. But why don't we go ahead and bring our first guest, Yaa Maggie Kilo. Welcome to Black Star News Show.
Thank you very much, Milton, and thank you, Colin, for giving praise to your aunt and your grandmother.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yaa Maggie Kilo, tell us a little bit about yourself. And obviously, the time runs so quickly, so keep it brief, but it's important for listeners to understand who is speaking to them. So tell us briefly about yourself, your organization, and what inspired you to become involved in activism work to address the crisis in southern Cameroon.
I'll give you the very short of it. I'm an educator, a retired former international development specialist, and a fragile states or state fragility expert. So I'm retired now, and I am in this struggle to end the war in Cameroon, because I want to give a better country to our children and our grandchildren. Takumbang, the organization which I represent, is a traditional organization in the part of Cameroon where I come from, where traditionally postmenopausal women actually take care of conflict issues in society and make sure they maintain the peace so that people can prosper. So basically, I'm in the struggle because of my age, because of my passion for my country, and because of my experience as an international development expert and a state fragility expert. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, Cameroon is supposedly ruled by this dictator who has sham elections. He's 88 years old. I read in the Wall Street Journal that he is rarely in the country and lives in a multi-luxurious hotel in Switzerland. And I guess he rules the country by Skype. So tell listeners, what is the major crisis this is going on in southern Cameroon now? And I believe it's been escalating, particularly since 2017.
Indeed, particularly since 2017, when teachers and lawyers in the Anglophone, the English-speaking part, 20% of the country actually demonstrated peacefully about the marginalization, about the problems that they were having in those two sectors in particular. But our problems go far back, way beyond 2017. Started in the 1960s, when instead of independence, we were given a plebiscite by the UN to either to achieve independence by either joining Nigeria or joining the French Cameroon. And because we thought we had a similar culture, similar traditions with the East French Cameroon, we decided to join them. But this is where we've had our greatest problems, and our people have been at war with the government, because the government, the president himself declared war in 2017, coming out of the Francophonie meeting in Abidjan. He arrived in the country and he declared war on the English-speaking 20% population.
Okay, so you say the crisis started in the 60s, and that now brings me back to, you know, that was the era when African countries were emerging from colonial rule. Obviously, many of them, Nkrumah did know the challenges that they would face in terms of the former colonial powers wanting to set up neo-colonial regimes in Africa. And they went about eliminating Pan-African nationalists. You know, Nkrumah himself was overthrown, of course. Patrice Lumumba assassinated brutally. But Cameroon also had many of their nationalist leaders assassinated by the French, including people like Félix Mumi, who was killed, I think, while he was in Switzerland, and poisoned by French secret agents using thallium. And then since then, they've had these neo-colonial puppets, including the one you have right now, whom sometimes I feel so enraged. I feel like I want to go and overthrow him myself. He's 88 years old. He's been there over 40 years. So a lot of this is also the crisis of neocolonialism and dictatorship. You can address that, but also specifically, we want listeners to know the challenges, the horrific conditions that women in the war zone are facing today.
Indeed. Thank you very much for giving that excellent background on the situation in Cameroon. When we got the plebiscite decision by the UN General Assembly, we joined a country that was already at war, and all the churches should have monitored to see what was actually happening to the minority 20% that was integrated into this relationship with two separate cultures and really basically two different mindsets. You know, an experiment was actually tried in between Senegal and the Gambia on the west side. It lasted 8 years and the two countries split. But if you look at the Gambia, it's actually in the middle of Senegal. And their culture, the religion, the language, and everything is the same, except for the fact that those two countries were actually colonized, the bigger Senegal by the French and the smaller Gambia by the British. Correct. So they decided they couldn't live together. Whereas in Cameroon, the 20% Anglophone population has made every attempt to actually live this relationship, and 60 years plus shows that we are only being marginalized, and the assimilation that the Biya himself talked about in France, in the peace meeting in France in 2019, he said it's failed, the 20% cannot be assimilated. Then instead of letting us go, our people, our teachers and lawyers demonstrate. And here they go with helicopter gunships shooting at people in broad daylight. And that is the situation that led to the war. And yes, the women are really, really bearing the brunt of that decision by Biya, by His Majesty, to actually wage war on his supposedly own citizens.
Now, I've seen some of the very gruesome images on social media of civilians that have been killed by the government soldiers from the French-speaking side. What, to listeners, why is this not covered practically anywhere in the Western media? I mean, I know, obviously, the French are 100% in support of this puppet, Paul Biya, but are they able to totally shut out media coverage as well?
Yes, of course, because Cameroon is a sovereign state. And we, as a tiny minority, what our teachers at school, they poor, could you actually have English teachers teach the children in a language that they themselves speak and that the children can understand? But here we are, the courts are in French, and our lawyers say the same thing. Our people don't speak French. When you bring laws that are French laws to common law English-speaking people, they don't know what is going on. And that's why today we have about 3,500 prisoners in the French Cameroon jails, and we are crying to the world, release them. And they are tortured, they live in horrendous conditions, and we just want to get out of a very bad situation.
This is because they don't want to submit to French neocolonialism. So you have a so-called African president punishing other Africans because they won't become French. This is just mind-boggling. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Black Star News Show on WBAI 99.5 FM radio. I am your host, Milton Alimadi. We also live stream on WBAI.org. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Colin Benjamin. Listeners, Cameroon is completely shut out of news media. You can only hear this kind of discussion on a station like WBAI because WBAI is supported by listeners such as yourself. We don't take any commercials, no advertising. That is why we are not censored by anyone in terms of the people we can bring on this show to share knowledge and information. Listeners, at this time, I do remind you that we need your pledges and your support. Please pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2950 and support our station. You can even adopt one of the shows as a buddy. And that means any amount that you designate is taken out of a credit or debit card on a monthly basis. So I hope that, and to do that, you can go to give, and then the number 2, and then WBAI.org. Listeners, if you want to ask our guest any question, please, the number to dial is 212-209-2877. And once you get through, our brilliant engineer, Reggie, will let me know that you want to ask a question. At this time, we go to Comrade Colin Benjamin.
Yes, sir. Ms. Keo, thank you again for being with us. I came across something. You were involved in an online discussion that I happened to see some of it. And you said something, you said several things that struck me, one of which is you said that in southern Cameroon, you said that that part of Cameroon has been taken back 7% of Cameroon's wealth. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that for us.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, when war happens, the soldiers go in, they burn people's homes, they torture, they loot, they do all kinds of things. They arrest people. So what happens? The economy, with the destruction that is happening, takes people backwards into economic activities that actually the other countries around them are growing, especially among African countries now, where you have growth at 5 plus up to 10% for countries like Ghana, Rwanda. And then you have the other countries where the infrastructure is being destroyed, schools are being burnt down, hospitals, administrative buildings, people's homes. By the time you do all that destruction, you will find your the top of the non-development. No development has been taking place over the years. The little that they have, you go in and you destroy. So you take people 75 years backwards while the rest of the country is growing. If you look at Cameroon, we just had the AFCON Games. You see the stadium that were built in other parts of the country. In our part of the country, no such thing happened. You see how, you know, the other part of the country is prospering. In ours, people are being jailed, people are living in the bushes, people are afraid to come out. Yes. So, and what happens? Our part of the country produces all the oil that is being used by the country now to wage, to buy the weapons to wage war on us. I could go on and on.